Okay, this is Mons, back again with the Malmö Tech Team and our little famous podcast. Or it's getting famous, isn't
famous,
it?
Yeah, yeah. 80 place.
Exactly. It's getting big. So it's still me, Mons Adler, and it's... who are you, Timo?
I'm Timo, hi. Part of Malmö Tech Team.
Yeah. What are we doing, Timo?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'd say... Well, we're both problem solvers,
yeah,
and we try to figure out what the city is facing in problems and help them to take a different approach on how to find solutions to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is our second podcast. The last one, we had a very concrete issue that we were working a little bit about and hands-on. We talked a lot about getting the municipality to start Googling properly. And we also had sort out a form for the HR department. And we just want to check in and see how we're doing with that, Timo. You did a little bit of work, and we have now released it into the semi-wild, at least.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, we built a small prototype of it, a functional prototype. And we sent it over to the contact we had at the HR center. Haven't promoted it any further. And surprisingly enough, it's already been spreading within the organization. So right now we have 14 people that have tried out the service, more in an exploratory phase. And then our department is actually going to use this tool now for our HR survey internally. And we're going to get feedback on that next week when we go through it.
And also, there. So out of those people that you're mentioning, those are the people setting the survey up.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right, but there are still way more responses. So
yeah,
there is a lot of people that have, you know, some of them have quite a few responses, and especially ours have 16
something.
So it's really alive and kicking without us doing anything, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is super nice, but it's not really the reason why we're going to talk today, because we said we're going to focus on something else. Which is the first Swedish word you learned when you got to the municipality, Timo.
Yeah, the offentliga upphandling.
Exactly, right? Procurement, offentlig upphandling. Mm. So what is procurement, Timo? Why do municipalities do procurement?
The short explanation, I guess, would be it's meant to prevent any kind of... abuse of the system by, you know, hiring your friend or hiring somebody you know or just buying something randomly. The idea of the procurement is to make an informed decision and have an open market that other people can compete in, so you buy a solution that kind of
I think it sums it up very well. There's probably some way deeper scientific explanation of why it's there, but it's a way for the city to buy things, basically, and
right,
the process
for how
to buy both, I guess, physical products as well as software.
Yeah,
and when it comes to the software and the consultancy, I think we have seen quite a few of those already, and we have been agonizing over them over and over again. And why is that, Timo? Why is it so frustrating sometimes to see those procurements being done by the city?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the process comes from it's from a different time period. It's basically meant for, or it used to be done when the city is building a new building. We're going to build a new school. Who are we going to contract for building that school? Which is a high price tag on it and fairly rigid structures on, like, functional requirements and how something should work. But in the software world, we kind of live in a different world where usually the product is not finished and you're not sure at the outset what you exactly need. So the process is...
It's often even what you're buying is often the knowledge of what to do.
Exactly.
So they're finding out what should we do rather than... Because if you already know what to do, technically, it's often very easy to implement. The problem is getting to a place where you know exactly what it is you are supposed to do and how does that work with the users that you want to use.
And that's the first problem we have seen there is that there's a lot of assumption of that you know what you need, but then it turns out you don't.
No.
And if you think about it, if There's this classical episode from The Simpsons where Homer Simpson gets tasked with building his perfect car. And just because he likes driving cars doesn't mean he will come up with the best car that is out there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if we ask for something to an agency, or like they come from a different... Like, if somebody asks me, can you build this, I will be able to say yes. Without saying if that is needed, if that is the best solution. But yes, mm-hmm. it is doable to build something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You need to be aware of what the problem is you're trying to solve, and then that's basically your task. Mm. But then you have to find good people to find a solution on how that should look like and how it should work.
Mm. What you know, so in those processes, we kind of have been in a little bit in a few of them, but mostly we're sitting on the side. And what are we lacking? It is that. You know, you're touching on it, and it's this competence of what to do. Do we have any examples of like where we could see, you know, why are we letting people who don't know how to build software be the ones responsible for buying how you buy or how you build a software, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where it structurally fails. Maybe it's sometimes that. It just is, yeah, there's the lack of having that responsibility in your team, or just by not knowing what is, like, you know, somebody might be good with computers, but that doesn't mean they know the things that are needed in a modern system or how it should be done. So I think a lack of competence in that. And I think it's totally fine for people. They have their core competences. They are HR people, for like this one example. Their core competences are in HR, but they don't have to know exactly how a system... I mean, there's two levels to a system, right? There's the one that is purely like... On the everyday interaction, but then there's also the technical side of like, is it an open platform? Can we import, export data? Can we integrate it into other systems? There's a lot of those questions around there too, where we need to find answers. And I think it's totally fine for people to not know that. And then I think that the thing is to not pretend that you know, or not be afraid to admit that you don't know, and pull in people that can help you out with that kind of technical part of finding the correct solution.
But in that is also, for me, it's also interesting that some of the assumptions that the municipality doing around what it needs are still very off, even today. Like what we're seeing when they don't understand that it doesn't matter really if it's open source, if they don't themselves actually can implement anything. They don't have the competence in-house to make use of open-sourced code. They buy a lot of systems for one feature specifically, instead of saying we buy one system and then we build those feature-specific things on top of that using APIs or something similar. Basically just because they don't have the competence in-house. And then we also seen situations where they try to get around that and saying we buy a bulk of consultancy hours. And so they work their way around building the feature they need on the APIs or whatever system they're working towards. But then end up in a situation that 3 years later, when this consultancy firm has used up the bulk hours that they were paid to, you know, there's someone else coming in bidding lower, and all of a sudden, all the people are changed out, and they end up having completely new team, no way of having the sort of the knowledge in the walls and within the city and so on. Do we see any way out of that, Tim? What are the things that you could do to sort of get out of that?
I mean, there's a couple of different layers, right? There's layers to like what we can do in the city, how the procurement process itself should change, and how we can make sure that we get competences back in-house, or make sure that we get set right priorities when we go do the procurement. I think the first thing we should start at, and that is a really key part, is when we go into procurement, or if there's an idea for any new system, actually talk to the people that will end up using it. They are doing something right now, and they are the most important people now. You need to talk to them and figure out with them what is the problem they have at hand and what are they actually trying to fix. If you just take assumptions and build the procurement from that, you will end up with a system that will not might not solve their needs. And then the second part right now is in that whole procurement process, we tend to overemphasize the price and functional requirements. So it just means like, hey, we need to be able to put this data into that database, but then there's no requirements on user experience or like integratability, et cetera. It's just like, okay, it provides it functionality and it's the cheapest provider. So we're going to go for that one. So we need to get the non-functional requirements in there and then take like the softer factors around it as well.
And I think the interesting thing for me in that is when you do not consider the usability of a software or a system, you end up maybe having the technical features, but you end up with a product or service that no one's using. So you're paying, even though the price might be lower, and even though, you know, it might be doing the right things, you pay a lot of money for something that no one can use or is using. And I still, even though we looked around and you know, I still haven't seen anyone going out with a procurement asking for me, which would be the right question, we will pay you when we see this type of usage. That's what we are used to, right? When you and I come from a startup world, the investors that we have, their targets, their milestones is often about usage. Someone actually using what you're saying? I don't care how you build it. I don't care if it's shit code. I don't care if it's shit design. What I ask you is how many are using it and how frequently, and do they get what they...
Do they come back?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they usually do the referral calls. They talk to your customers. They ask how happy they are with the solution. So you have to ask those people.
Yeah.
Those are the metrics that you should strive for.
Exactly. And I'm not sure, but I guess there is a lot of you procurement people out there. And I think we really want to ask that question to you. Would we be allowed to put up a procurement process saying we do not know what we want, really? We need to figure that out ourselves. But what we know is that we need our users, if that's internal administration people, or if it's external, meaning citizens, we want to see this amount of usage for this price. We want to see this amount of usage for that price. And then we don't really care about that. That I think is one of the most interesting things that I want to bring up today and let the people around us think a little bit about. Would that be possible as a procurement? And if you have an answer, just feel free to comment in our Facebook group, Malmö Civil Collab, and you know, push through some comments on and thoughts on that. Are there other things that we've seen? There are some. There's a bunch of no-gos and goes that we want to see in procurement that we don't want to see, because we also end up in a lot of situation where we see Malmö buying something that we feel a lot of other places in Sweden could use. It also seems like people are buying a lot of systems thinking that they're super special, unique, and very rare. And we just take for granted that everybody else in the whole of Sweden, probably in the whole of EU, is doing exactly the same, more or less. And we know that software is pretty expensive, but it scales very good. And that's sort of the next model that I think we should have in there in those procurements as well, is how do we actually make sure that we get usage from other municipalities or people around us, not only for Malmö City, but for other cities as well.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, there's a lot. So two, like, core things, of course, is we, like, for most of the systems that we buy, they should not be silos. We should have every system we buy should have open APIs. I mean, that's just the de facto standard in the private sector.
What is an API?
Like, an API is basically something that would allow you, whatever system you use, it would allow you to take data out of it and put data back into in a machine readable way. So like for instance, if you have an Outlook calendar and you would like to import that into Google Calendar, there's an API for that, so you can automatically, every time I create an event in Outlook, it's automatically in Gmail. And that would enable us to do I mean, we have this issue at the city a lot of times that we bought many systems that are in data silos, so that means we are basically relying on that vendor to provide a feature or not. And if they don't, we are locked in. We can't do anything about it until... But if we would have APIs, then we can interact with the data still. So we're like...
And that's good for the vendor, right? Because they are locking the city in, which means we need to keep coming back, paying them more money for something that we're creating ourselves, our own data, but they sit and control that in those silos, yeah, and we don't get it out.
I mean, you hear like there are ridiculous cases where you have to actually hire people to manually copy data from one system into the other because they don't interact with each other. So they have to hire people to copy and paste data. And that is something that is, of course, a simple thing. And then the next layer to that...
Before you go on that, Timo, so for people out there, we're talking about APIs. How is that different from open data? What is the difference, Timo? So we don't get some confusion out there.
Yeah, so open data would just mean that we are... It's two completely different concepts. Open data would be any kind of data that the city has that they want to publish to the citizens. So that could be data on how many support questions we got this week, or like where are all the bike parking spots in the town. And that would be something that we structure as data, and we publish it somewhere on our website, and then other people can use that data to integrate it into other services or do data analysis on it, like how often... Is this or like how frequently are we getting any support questions? Is it any specific area they come from? You can do a lot of data analysis and see, get conclusions about how the city is working and what's not working.
And the API.
And an API is just something from a technical perspective that would allow one system to communicate with another system. So it data passes through, but it's more like the how open data is, here is data, and API is allowed one system to send over data to another system, and the other system will understand what it's getting there. That's kind of the
cool.
Two different things.
Super good. You were getting on to a second point.
Yeah,
as well,
that was coming on with the API is the powerful thing it allows us to do, and I think that's what we usually do in the in the startup world too. Like we buy some solutions that we want to have that are not part of our core responsibility, so we buy a solution for that, but we need to integrate into our system. So we buy this whatever it might be. Let's say it's a support software. We buy that software. It handles the chatting and everything like that perfectly, but then we need to get some data into our system, and that's where the APIs come in, right? So we get them, and they do what they do best, and then we have a way to integrate to that system.
It's kind of almost the opposite when I think about it from a more buying perspective. It's almost the opposite to what the municipality is doing today, because what the municipality is doing is almost setting a structure for what it needs in terms of features, and that's kind of the APIs that they need, right, from a solution, and then they go out and procure that, meaning they buy someone to build that almost for them, or they find a system that can do some of those things, or people are bidding that we are going to be able by 1st of June to do it. Whereas in the startup world, we would go out and look at the already published API. So we go to the service, we Google top 3 support call function services in the world. We get a list of top 5. Some blogger had written about it sometime. Mm-hmm. We check out the 2 or 3 most mentioned, or we do a little bit of research on those. And then we ask someone who is knowledgeable enough to go in and look at the APIs and see, can we get this customer data out into our Excel file or our CRM system or whatever? So we are not telling someone what they should build or what we need. We're almost looking out into the world saying, we suppose it's already there, because it is. There's always, everything has already been built, basically. So we go out in the world on Google and Google us all the way forward to find who has done it the best so far. Yeah. And then we check, they publish their API, so we check, can we do the things that we need to do? Good. Then we go into buying.
Yeah. Right. And the perfect example is actually to tie it back to last week's session. That's exactly what we did with the HR survey tool. I looked up online who is providing an amazing form, because I don't want to have to rebuild the form. And I know there's a company, like for this prototype, I chose a free sample called Typeform they do an amazing job at having different kinds of forms. They make sure it renders perfectly on mobile.
It looks beautiful. They afford to design nice. It feels nice. Yeah.
So I don't need to build that, which is great. So the only thing we wanted to have some customers' visualization on top of that. So I used the API, and like the 90% of the work is done by them, and I can use that. And then 10% I build as glue code, so to say. And that is the customization we need in the city. And that was just a small tool, but I think that is basically the approach I would like the city to see. Like, we use Outlook as a calendar, so anything that has any kind of booking system should feed into that. We don't want to have 15 different calendar vendors that you have to keep track of and check in, and that's where the API become really powerful. The same goes with login. You don't want to log into every system. You would like to have one login thing, and then the beautiful thing about it is it in the beginning it sounds like a small piece, but then it's like it's the classical thing. It's like the sum is more than
than the parts.
Exactly. Because then suddenly, if every login is done through a common login system, that means when we onboard a new user, we just create one user. When they leave the town, we just remove that user, and you don't have to care about any of the other systems. And same goes with like a calendar integration. So I think choose the right tool for one thing and make sure all the other things do the thing that they are good at good, but then integrate into that one thing that does the other thing good, instead of having some vendor that does one thing really good and then 15 things kind of okay. And
and when I'm often out giving talks or having talks, I often talk about there's this economics professor back in the 40s, 50s that's called Coase, who has something that became famous known as the Coase theorem, where he talks about the transactional cost of something. And that is a way of explaining of when you bought something back in the day, you needed to consider as an organization what were the cost of letting the world know that you exist, the legal costs of making a contract, all the different parts of having salespeople moving around, everything that comes with a transaction. And back in the day in the industrial era, it was more about controlling that yourself because it was cheaper. And so, for example, there's this amazing image of Ford's first plant where they're trying to build the first Model 1 cars, basically. And on the plant, they even have U.S. biggest coal plant producing their own electricity. I mean, they just basically shipped in steel and rubber and out came cars. That is not how you build a car today, right? You pick and choose the best tire maker. They are really skilled at making fantastic tires. You pick and choose the best wheel maker. They are really good at wheels. You pick this part for the engine. And so I think the same goes even more so with software, is that you choose the ones who are really good at just one thing. And you cannot be good at a lot of things. There are very few companies today that manage to be good at a lot of things. So when we choose a form system, we choose the one that is best, or there will be top three that are best. And we know this because when it comes to things like search, we know that it's Google, it's Bing, and then there is almost nothing else. When it's social media, there is Facebook, Instagram, and there is almost nothing else. So that you need to be super skilled at one thing, and you need to know what that thing is, and keep hammering at being good at just that thing when it comes to a digital era, because there is someone else who's going to be better than you at doing something else. And then you need to have those APIs, because otherwise you can't integrate with the other ones. Being basically, you can't put that tire on that wheel if you do not have the APIs.
Exactly. So
Coase theorem about the transactional cost is a good read if you want to understand this a little bit better. Cool. I think there is a lot of things more that we want to talk about procurement.
Absolutely.
and get more in deeper in that. Do you have any last words for this session? Because I think we will get back to it and talking more about it later on, Timo. Is there anything else that you think, some kind of sum up of?
I guess the summary will be like, realize that whatever you ask for, you will get somebody that says, yes, we can build that. So you have to be sure in what problem are you trying to solve. I think that is the first step. Yeah. Figure out what is this solution supposed to help with. And then,
a little advice in that, do not look what other municipalities have done.
No,
we see that a lot. you buy things that are really shitty. Ask Google, again, top three in the world. You should buy what Microsoft is using when it comes to a calendar. Or you should buy what Google is using. Or you should buy what some other huge company is using, because they probably know their shit a little bit better than Tuomelila. No offense, but Tuomelila. But, you know, don't check there.
So I think be well informed about what the problem is. And then be okay, like... Yeah, it's fine to say I don't know anything about open APIs and how that's supposed to work, but then make sure you bring in the people that know that, and you can happily reach out to us.
Yes.
And then, yeah, so I think, yeah, bringing the experts so you can make the most informed decision.
Cool. Thank you so much for today. I think our ambition now is to do this every second, third week going forward, so stay tuned. There will be more. And it's, I think we're getting a little bit warm in our clothes.
Yeah.
See how it takes off. Cool. Nice talking to you. Take care. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.